stop what you're doing and talk to God. Really talk to God. No half-hearted prayers. No let's get her done prayers. Really engage God in prayer. And as cute as this little boy is that I'm going to show you on the screen, James would say, don't pray like him. Check him out. Play that one more time. That's just beautiful. I love that. One more time. Oh boy, don't pray like that. He says, pray like Elijah prayed. The effective prayer of the righteous man accomplishes much. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray this morning, and we're going to pray over four particular areas that arise from our passage. And these areas are these. Number one, we're going to talk to our God about him. We're going to talk to him about him. We're going to adore him and worship him. And then we're going to talk to God about our world. And then we're going to talk to God about our church. And then we're going to get as specific as we possibly can, and we're going to talk to God about our lives and our individual needs. That's what we're going to do today. And this is how we are going to do it. Multiple ways. Number one, after this service in room 205, if you need prayer for your sickness or your suffering, in our text, it says that you are to call for the elders of the church and that we will pray for you and anoint you with oil and that God might step in there and bring healing. And so we want to be obedient to the passage that we're about to read. And so after the service, we would love to pray for you in this room across the way. That's number one. Number two, towards the end of the service, we're going to take the white cards that are in front of you that you're going to start to pull out and fill in with your own individual needs, the things that you are asking God for. And at some point in the service, we're going to collect them and we're going to bring them up here and we are going to pray for those particular needs. So I would encourage you, pull those white cards out and start filling out what it is that you are asking God for. Thirdly, we are going to provide a couple of times for you all to pray out loud. And so we're going to open up the floor. We got a couple of areas that we feel it is very appropriate for you to step in and as a congregation to pray out. Would you do that? And if you pray, would you pray loud so that other people can hear, agree, say amen, and take into their prayer closet this week? And all of that's going to be interspersed with elders coming up and praying and all of this tied together with worship. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Now, the first area that we want to focus our attention in on is the area of who God is. Who God is. And to do this, let me read the end of James chapter 5. And as I read this, listen to how many times James uses the word prayer or derivatives of this word. And I want you to see how he wants us to get beyond triumph and tragedy and ultimately to get our eyes upon the God who is above it all and wants to step in it with us. Notice what he says in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Notice the two polar opposites in human experience. Suffering and celebration. He's saying wherever you're at in life, suffering, celebration, or in between, pray without ceasing. Look up, talk to God, worship God, be entranced by God. If you're hurting, yeah, howl and scream and stomp, but make sure you talk to God. And if you're celebrating, jump up and down, you know, wave your hands in the air, but make sure you talk to God. Or if you're just bored and have nothing else to do, talk to God. Wherever you're at in life, talk to God. He continues. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it may not rain. And for 3.5 years, it did not rain on the earth. And he prayed again, and it started to rain, and the earth bore fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Wherever you're at, stop, look up, and worship. Make prayer not primarily about your problems or the things that you're celebrating. Adore God. Look at who He is. Think about who He is. Be entranced once again with His existence. Be struck by His character and attributes and works and promises and words. Be engaged by who He is, because that'll change everything that you pray about as you have that God word orientation, looking back down on your life. James says, look up, worship God. And this is important, because too much of prayer is asking instead of adoring. Too much of prayer is asking God instead of adoring Him for who He is. Too much prayer is pursuing His gifts rather than pursuing Him who is the giver. And I love how John Piper puts it. He says that it's the saving love of God that moves Him to be committed to do everything to enthrall us with what is most deeply and durably satisfying, namely Himself. Let me say that again. God's commitment in your life is to do everything to enthrall you with what is most durably and amazingly satisfying, and that is Himself. And so let's pray, let's praise God and look up and look upon His greatness this morning. James says, is anyone among you suffering? And a lot of people think that that has a reference to the outside world. In fact, one commentator renders it this way. He says, if anyone is suffering the evil blows from the outside world, pray. And how appropriate, given what James has said in chapter 5. He has been dealing with the painful inequalities that are present there in his time, in his day, in our time, and in our day. He's dealing with oppressive and sinful structures and systems in the world that's keeping the poor and the widow and the downtrodden down and exploited. And he tells the church, many of them were a part of that community, if you're there, you got a resource up there. You have a God who stands over the world, who is sovereign over the world, and He has resources for you from heaven in your painful earth. If you're suffering from the outside, pray, he tells us. Now, what are we to pray? And of course, we could pray a lot of things. We can pray, God, I'm praying for relief here, or remove me from that particular situation. And all of those are valid, but I want to urge here in our time together, where we're going to open it up for you today, I think we ought to also pray for restoration. that God would be at work in this sinful world, changing it for good. That God would be at work in this world, restraining the evil that we see in this world. That God would be at work destroying terror groups like ISIS, or better yet, converting them to Jesus like he did the Apostle Paul when he was Saul, the church persecutor. That God would be at work changing those evil circumstances and those systems of oppression and bringing good out of evil as much as he wants to prior to the coming of Jesus. That God would be at work eliminating the racial tensions in our country. At work supporting the refugees overseas and the widows and the orphans. At work raising up godly leaders all around the world, but especially given that this is our backyard, that he would be doing so here nationally, statewide, as well as locally. And the reason why I say that is the particular prayer that's referenced in our text is Elijah, and he's praying for what? Well, yeah, he's praying for a drought and he's praying for rain, but all of that is designed as a way to bring restoration to his people, to bring revival, to destroy these sinful systems that have gradually grown up over hundreds of years of a people departing from God. He is praying that God would do good in his world. And the Bible tells us to do the same. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2, I urge you, brothers and sisters, I urge that he says, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and those in positions of power, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life, godly and dignified. For this is good and pleasing in the sight of the Lord, who desires for all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We are urged to pray that, and that's what we're going to pray right now. And this is where you need to step out and pray. And we have, well, a template that you might want to use. This is how the psalmist prayed for God's intervention in his world. Psalm 72, verse 4, he prayed, may he, God, defend the cause of the poor, of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. And you can maybe add to that, convert ISIS, eliminate the racial tension in our culture, raise up godly leadership locally, that God would be sovereign over our contentious national elections, that God would be at work supporting the persecuted church in China and India and other places, that God's global purposes would be at work through the prayers and the intercessions of his people. Let's talk to God about our church. Notice that what James has to say about prayer is right smack dab in the middle of the life of a local church. We read how he encourages the relationship of member and elder, and if you have need, if you have sickness, call for the elder or elders of the church. There's relationship there, but it's not just at the member-elder level. We also see in verse 16 that there is body ministry, body relationship. Confess your sins to one another, he says, praying for one another that you may be healed, which presumes community, a safe place to be vulnerable, to share struggles, to share triumphs, space for us to interact with one another. And so there's discipleship taking place, and not just discipleship in-house. Notice there's this direction towards mission as he wraps up the chapter, and he tells the church, look for lost people. Look around. You have wandering people leaving your church, and if they're not leaving your church, they're out there wandering outside of the flock of God. So be the kind of community praying for, striving for the good and the salvation of those around you. You see, the context here is a vital, lively, Jesus-exalting, people-loving church, and that presumes a praying church. A church constantly looking up with dependency. I think of C.H. Spurgeon, who was an amazing preacher, pastor, influential in his time, and people would often flock to his church leaders, and they would say, Spurgeon, what is the secret to your ministry? How do you have so much influence in the world and influence in your city? And what he would often do is he would take them by the hand and take them down to this room underneath the platform where he preached, and there he would introduce them to the 100 or so people who would intercede through all the services that he conducted. And he pointed to that group of intercessors, and he said, therein lies the power. And if we are to see this church be used by God in this world, in our community, that presumes that we are a church dependent upon God in prayer, always offering to God our endeavors, our attempts by way of prayer to Him, praying to Him for the right heart and direction and wisdom to follow that direction and resources to get to those objectives. And so we're going to pray for our church, and on the screen, you're going to see just a little sampler of those ministries that God is working in and through, and there is so much more. All of these can be dialed down into sub-ministries. But let's spend some time. And again, we're going to open this up for you because many of you have your heart's stock, your time, your talent, and your treasure invested in Awanas, invested in small groups, invested in children's ministry, invested in international missions, invested in local missions via Boaz, invested in one of a number of these ministries, all of which God is collectively at work furthering His purposes in and through this church. And as we pray, here's one prayer you can pray. It's the one that Paul asked the Colossians to pray for him. In Colossians 4:3, Paul says this, please pray for us also that the Lord would open up a door for the word that I might make it clear how I ought to speak. That I may get the word through my ministry, the gospel through my ministry, the gospel through my church out into the community, out into the people here, so as to make plain His message. So once again, we want to invite you to pray over specific ministries of this church. Would you do that? So we've talked to God about Him, about our world, about our church, and now let's talk to Him about our lives and our needs. And of course, anyone reading James for the first time realizes that he has particular needs, urgent needs in mind. People suffering, and as you know, suffering comes with an infinite variety of manifestations and forms. He's addressing people who lack resources, people who lack heart, hope, people who lack direction, people who lack reconciliation. People like you, you come this morning with all sorts of things that keep you up at night, keep you sleepless, keep you wondering, keep you fearing and fretting. And it's easy to see those things in our lives as being so big, and we can fail to see how bigger God is. And so James says, pray. Pray. You got resources outside of your particular problems. And listen to this. Prayer is that place where your burdens change shoulders. It's that place where you could say, God, I've been bearing this, and you have sent Jesus to be my faithful high priest to yoke up with me in my life so that he can shoulder the burden. God, I don't want to bear it anymore. May this be a transaction this morning where this burden changes shoulders from mine to yours. And he's inviting you to experience that great transaction. I think of what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. I love this verse, and it's one that we ought to keep in mind as we pray. Do not be anxious about anything. That's for you. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which doesn't make sense given where you're at, isn't logical, isn't rational. People think you're nuts because of the poise that you have in life. The peace of God will descend upon your life because you know he is in control and he loves you, and his peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Will you experience that this morning? And I'm going to pray over these particular requests, as well as those who didn't write requests, because we know some of you right now it's too tender and it's too sensitive, and I get it, but we're going to submit all of our requests to God. Join me in prayer. God, I thank you that you are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we don't need to fear. We can be still and know that you are God. God, we thank you that you are our shield. You're the shield about us. You are our glory. You are the lifter of our head. You tell us, fear not, for I am with you. Be not afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And you are telling us that this morning. And so we want to experience that, and we come to you with our requests. And so, God, we lay these requests and so many more at your feet. And you tell us to, and we're bringing them to you. And we pray that you would step in the way that you want to. Step in either to heal or to provide strength, God, to reconcile or to deal with the fact that there won't be reconciliation, God, to break addictions, to bring peace, to bring life and wholeness, to rebuke the evil one who would love to kill, steal, and destroy. God, we are pleading with you. Would you step in the lives and the stories of these individuals? God, we commit this to you in Jesus' name, knowing that you are far more eager to answer these prayers than we are eager for you to answer these prayers, because whatever care we have comes from you. God, please be glorified in your response to these petitions, I pray in Jesus' name.
Well, that concludes our study of the book of James, and wow, that has been a ride, and pray that this book has truly inspired you to follow Jesus and to follow him in the power of the gospel. May you have a wonderful Lord's Day. Bless you.